On today's episode, cats versus kids, who will survive, getting wet with ASMR, and setting boundaries with your favorite scientist. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red thoughts. Who do you? The church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking to my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh my goddess.
Hello, potatoes. It's Lori Beth Denberg here, and welcome to the Bad Advice Podcast. With me, as always, is Clark Crozer.
Hello.
Hello, Clark, my co-host. My soulmate.
How are you?
I am doing okay. Yeah. I'm in a good, a little goofy mood today.
Yeah, it seems like it.
It is, as we record this, April Fool's Day.
It is April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day. So I wanted to talk about my favorite prank that I ever played on Clark.
Uh-oh.
He doesn't know what I'm going for yet.
I have no clue what you're about to say.
So let me say this. Clark is a bit of a prankster.
A little bit, yeah, sure.
How about in the past?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Clark would take people's phones.
Sure,
take people's iPhones, but this is 8-9 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of fuck around and set an alarm for like 3:47 a.m.
Sure.
Or do whatever,
all this kind of
stuff. Change ringtones. Change ringtones, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So at Clark's wedding...
Yes.
I was seated at a table with a bunch of friends from work. We worked together at a ad agency.
That's right.
And you, sir, I don't know where your mind was.
I was getting married?
Yeah, maybe. Had left your phone on the little lovebirds table.
That's right. Yep.
Which I was seated right next to.
Yes,
so
you are.
I grabbed it,
mm-hmm.
knowing that if you can dish it out, you should be able to take it at your wedding.
Of course.
And I changed the language from English to Korean.
Uh-huh.
And Clark
and took a bunch of pictures, too.
Oh, yeah.
You guys took a whole bunch of pictures.
We took a bunch of pictures at our table, including a bunch of Chris Cowan's arm.
Yeah.
But Chris Cowan is an awesome dude. Not
yes,
only
he is.
A lovely human being, but a great filmmaker.
Yeah.
And he happens to be a large, hot black man. Chris, if you're out there and you're unattached... So we tried to take a bunch of pictures of just his forearm to make it look like a big black dick.
Right.
I don't know how successful we were.
Not very. It just looked like lots of pictures of his arm.
Yeah, but so this was the level of intelligence going into our fun at the wedding. But I did take Clark's phone and change the language to Korean.
Yep.
And you were just angry. I mean, you weren't yelling, but you were like, you took no fun in it. And you just go to me at my wedding.
Well, keep in mind, when it's your wedding, you gotta be talking to everyone,
I get
schmoozing
it, Clark,
with everyone.
I'm not married, and I have no love in my life. Continue.
I had all of 5 seconds allotted to come over and be like, please change my phone back so that I can turn it on again, and that I don't know what Korean language I'm looking at.
Yeah, so then I felt bad.
Yeah.
Well, I also was like... Shows you. Serves you right. But then I did feel bad and you were like angrier than I thought. So I was like, oh no. So then, but the trick is once it's in Korean, you can't follow the directions to un-Korean it.
Exactly.
So I'm looking at my phone, which was, I think, a different model
right.
and going by my English menu, what to push. And then I'm like, can someone else give me their phone? And they were like, well, no, what are you going to do to
it? Yeah, exactly.
So I did end up getting it put right.
Right.
But
before the night ended.
Yes, that was my favorite little prank that you, for some reason, were too busy to enjoy.
Well, it was a very good prank. I just don't know about the timing of the prank. I didn't get married on April Fool's Day. I got married in October, so...
Well, that's why it was such a great prank. You weren't expecting it.
It was really a perfect April Fool's
Day. Yesterday, when I was like, oh, tomorrow's April Fool's Day,
right.
I just remember thinking, everyone's going to wear green.
Oh, what?
I don't know. Everything is just...
The pandemic has smushed every single holiday into just one idea in your head that just says holiday.
It's very strange. It's like, oh, it's going to be Easter Purim. Everyone go on your Hamantash and hunt. No, but that's it. I totally went through my head. Like, oh, everyone's going to wear green tomorrow. I was like, no.
Why?
I don't know, because my mind is a big ball of mush mush.
Well, is your mush mush able to answer questions? Because we have some amazing questions this week.
Excellent.
From our listeners. So if you're ready, we can move on.
Yes, please.
Let's do it. All right. Question number one. Question number one is a phone call that we got from a lovely listener named Genevieve.
Hi, Lori Beth. My name is Genevieve. I saw your post on Twitter about travel advice, and I'm going to Vegas next month. Got my vaccine, by the way, so I'm all good. But I'm going to Vegas with my best friend, and I was just wondering what some top sites you would recommend are. I've been there once, but, you know, there's always so much to do in Vegas. And I want to do the best things that are available.
Thank you, Genevieve.
All right. Yeah. So that was Genevieve.
Hey, baby. Well, I want to just say first. Well, I want to say first, thank you for your question.
Yeah.
And thank you for looking at my Twitter feed. It's not that exciting. So I'm really glad that I put something up there that you looked at with your eyes.
Yeah.
But before I get into my Vegas, you know, things that I do in Vegas, you said that you've gotten the vaccine, which I'm super psyched about.
Oh, yeah.
But you said, so I'm good. And we're still in this.
Yeah.
The vaccine protects me.
Yep.
But I still need to protect other people. So even though you're good and you say, oh, I can travel with a, you know, far, far, far less, you know, worry about being, not being infected, but being, getting really sick from
right.
it. We're still protecting other people. So you're good. Maybe you feel, you know, feel more comfortable and confident traveling.
Right.
But still wearing your mask, baby.
Yep.
Especially, you know, it's going to be thick with people. Not as thick as usual.
Right.
Speaking of Chris Cowan's arm. But so that's just the first boring mom part of my response.
Sure, sure, sure.
But I am not a huge Vegas fan.
Hmm.
It's all partying. I've said before, I'd rather throw a party than go to a party.
Right.
I'm awkward. I'm like, So Vegas is just a big party.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I've never been a big drinker. So I've never gone out and been like, I'm so fucked up.
Right.
You know, I smoked weed in Vegas, including one time I went with a bunch of friends. Oh, my God. I went with a bunch of friends. It was right after 9/11.
Okay.
Not right. It wasn't like 9/12.
Right, yeah.
But a little while longer. And it was a bunch of us that were friends from Fat Camp, actually.
Oh, nice.
And a couple of them were from New York.
You 2001, that you're probably still doing Steve Harvey at that time, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this might have been into 2002, though.
Oh, okay.
Because it wasn't like everyone got on a plane right after 9/11.
Sure, sure.
But, you know, it's like our friends were there. We're scared for them. We wanted to get together. So they came out and we went to Vegas. And one of them from New York, I slept a long time, and I watched Memento there.
Okay.
And I always have crazy dreams after I watch the movie Memento, which is an awesome movie, if you have not seen it. But he got up the next day when I got up, they were all worried. They were all really worried about this, like, weird, patterny bruise he had on his arm. It was like all these dots. They were really concerned.
Oh.
And it was during post 9/11 with like anthrax stuff, like a lot of this stuff.
Terrorism was on the mind.
And I wish that they had woken me up. I mean, eventually they did. If you go somewhere with me, eventually you'll be like, wake up. You're wasting your time sleeping. But, and I just look at it and I'm like, you got a hickey from the tub. It was a
jet tub.
Yes, it was a jet tub. It had obviously just kind of sucked on his arm. And I just really picture, like, they were like, what's wrong with this, LB? And I'm like, it's from the tub. And I just go back to sleep. But I think I did wake up. But I was still using that.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if it was that day, but I had planned to go to a spa by myself. I was not very much part of the group. You know, I was, but I wasn't. I'd known them all since I was like 13.
Right.
And we were, how old was I in 2012? Yeah,
probably close to 22,
yeah,
23.
Something like that. So I write in if you know how old I was in 2012. But so I had booked myself a spa thing. Just by myself.
Okay.
I went
in the hotel?
In a different hotel.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember which one it was.
Okay.
But it was like a nice spa.
Sure, sure.
So all I had to eat that day was pot brownies and lemonade from the spa. And I might have also smoked. And I remember, well, I'll save this for a little bit. You know, so I go to the spa, I get these two intense, like a massage and something else. So I'm just feeling good on the way home. I'm driving and I realize, oh shit, I need to turn left here and just like fucking crash into this car.
Oh no.
That was in the left-hand turn lane that I just didn't look for.
Whoa.
And, you know, I felt really bad and these people were really concerned. I mean, they were obviously no one was hurt.
Right.
And we weren't going, you know, a million miles an hour at all.
Right, right, right.
But they were worried. And so it wasn't just like, here's my information. I'm really sorry.
Mm.
And they weren't like, you fucking blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But so we had to stop. Like we went somewhere to make a copy of my driver's, like all this extra stuff.
Wow.
That wasn't necessary, but they don't know that about me. We're
right.
In Vegas. Everyone's a friggin' tourist.
Right.
This is probably a rental car. You know, it wasn't
my
car.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So, and I just remember like going, okay. Like I'm good with stuff like that. I don't really get that upset. I mean, I felt badly.
Yeah, of course.
But
of course.
I'm not like, oh my God.
Right.
You know,
not
so
freaking
I just,
out.
I handled it.
Okay.
And then I went back to the hotel and blah, blah, blah. So that was great. But I also had braces at the time.
That's right. Yes.
I had just regular old silver braces.
Yeah.
And so you get cuts in the inside of your mouth and you know, gargle warm salt water. So I had in my glove compartment a baggie full of salt. And I'm like, if the cops come, like, I know it's salt. It will prove to be salt in the end.
Right.
But like, okay, let's just not have that be an issue.
Well, especially because I like what we were saying. You were on TV right around that time,
oh, yeah.
Either during or right before.
Yeah,
so
that would have been the perfect
TMZ fodder.
Yeah, the perfect child star gone wrong.
Yeah.
She was crazy on pot brownies, pot and lemonade from the spa she just went to. And the police found a bag of, well, eventually salt.
Right.
But
bath salts? No, just table
it
salt.
Was just sodium.
It was kosher, but it was, you know.
So this is Genevieve.
Yeah.
What I do in Vegas. No, not that part. That's just some stories that happen. But I am not a huge, like, let's go party, blah, blah, blah. Especially
right.
Not now that I'm sober.
Right, right, right.
But Vegas, you go to, we live in Los Angeles. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I do is drive.
Yes.
I drive to Vegas.
Which
I happen
you love
to,
doing.
Yes, I happen to like driving.
Yep.
And so that's groovy. McSmoothie. But what a bad rhyme I chose to make there.
Groovy McSmoothie. All right.
Yeah. Hey, man, they can't all be winners.
That's all right.
So I drive to Vegas. It's lovely. People say it's boring. I don't care. Get there. Check into the hotel.
Yeah.
Now, there's a series of things I do in Vegas, a little checklist.
Okay.
One of them is to get tickets to a show.
Sure.
A live show.
Such great shows
it
in Vegas.
It doesn't have to be like the biggest hot ticket, you know, and
right.
It's all based on budget.
Sure.
As is the hotel that I get, like all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
If I'm not going to go to like you know, Colonel Janky's roadside motel.
Right.
You know, I stay at a reputable place.
Sure.
But, you know, it's not the penthouse suite. It's just, you know, you're going to sleep there.
Sure.
So that's what I say about hotels. Non-bed buggy, non-rapey preferred. So I'll look around in all literature or whatever and find a show. Not necessarily the biggest show.
Right.
Something that interests me.
Right.
And another thing I do is I go to one buffet. Mm. Just while you're there, you have to go to one.
Sure.
You're not going to go to one every day.
Are you
going
to ever go back to a buffet again after COVID?
I don't know. That's the true.
That's a good question.
That's the true loss.
Yeah, right? Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no. And I see one movie.
Oh.
I like seeing movies out of town. I always remember where I saw them.
Oh, how nice.
I saw Titanic in Vegas.
Oh. Okay.
I saw Matilda in Detroit.
How weird.
I saw Mean Girls in New York.
Huh.
I just like it. That's
really interesting.
Yeah. Huh. I saw the first 90 seconds of The Matrix in New York.
Okay.
Did I tell you that story?
No, I don't think so.
We go in, we go to see The Matrix, the original.
Yeah.
And it starts and we're in the theater and whatever happens in the beginning. And then there's Keanu Reeves and he goes, like something, the white rabbit. And everybody laughed.
Right.
Because it's Keanu Reeves and he's goofy.
Right.
And then it like went all weird and blah, 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 blah. But we're like, well,
is
it's
it
the Matrix.
Part of the movie? Yeah.
And we're like, this is like the deal. But then they're like, everyone, the film broke. And we're going to give you a voucher to come back. And so it was like, yeah. So that was my experience with The Matrix. But I like seeing movies out of town.
Yeah.
I saw Titanic with our friend Steven.
Oh, yeah.
Who we went to Vegas once.
Nice.
And our friend Steven, the director of Working.
Yeah. We talked to a couple weeks ago.
Yes. And I did watch his, as did you.
Yeah. We both watched.
We watched Working. The production of Working and it was friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
And especially Steven's work in editing. So anyway, so I get a decent-ish hotel. I find a movie I want to see.
Okay.
I also saw the movie 1,000 Acres. Look that one up. No one's going to know.
Is that the Winnie the Pooh bio documentary of A.A. Milne?
No, it's the tender story of sisters growing up on farmland through a treacherous childhood. Yeah, I think it stars Michelle Pfeiffer and Christine Lottie.
Okay.
It's nothing anybody needs to run up. Yeah, I just don't know.
Okay.
But I remember it.
Because you were in a different
city. Yeah, I saw it on vacation. So I'll find the show, I'll find, you know, and I'll gamble. I don't sit down at a table, but I'll do some slot machines here and there. I'm like nickel slots, maybe some quarters. You know, I never win my money back. Nobody ever wins their money back.
Sure.
But on what I believe was my last trip to Vegas, I went with my friend Wes, and we went to the Pinball Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
The Pinball Hall of Fame.
Yep.
I'm going to say it again. The Pinball Hall of Fame. Now, Wes and I are very close friends. We have been for 15 years. Mm. And we have spent hours and hours and days and days and months and months playing pinball.
Mm.
My favorite table is Lord of the Rings pinball.
Nice.
For some reason, it just caught my attention. I'm pretty good at it.
Right.
It's very satisfying. So we had spent a million hours playing that game.
Hmm.
Whenever I ran into it somewhere, I'd be
in the wild.
Oh my God. I'd go. I saw it. I went bowling with some friends at a random bowling alley and I just was like, oh,
it's there.
There it was. So I would take myself there.
Nice.
You know, afterwards. And of course, things change out, so you get there, and it's like, oh,
it's gone.
But so not only did the Pinball Hall of Fame, which is just a giant kind of warehouse space filled
to the
with pinball machines that work. Most of them did. You can play them.
Yeah. Like from every era
exactly.
of time. There's like pinball machines from the 30s, pinball machines from the 70s, pinball machines from today.
And they did, of course, have Lord of the Rings pinball.
Nice.
So I played that. This is a few years ago.
Yeah.
And, God, probably 5 years ago, at least. So that is my suggestion, Genevieve. Like, that's one of my favorite memories of Vegas, is going to the Pinball Hall of Fame. So it's not about seeing the thing everybody's talking about necessarily. Right. It's not about spending the most money on the biggest show. These are things I like to do, and it's nice to do them, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I'm out and about and away from home and a little freer and X, Y, and Z. So, you know, if you think of some, first of all, if you like pinball, go to, I think I've said it enough.
Yeah.
But or if it's even amazing. Open.
No, I'm sure it's still open.
Well, no, I know, but are the pinball machines 6 feet apart?
I don't know.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant by open. Available. But, you know, what are some things like that maybe that you love?
And I go to Vegas a lot with Karen. Just outside of Bally's, I believe, there's a big shopping center. You're talking about shows. There's actually a twofer place in this shopping center so that if you wanted to get cheap tickets for you know, a show that's happening tonight or tomorrow night, like really soon, that's a really good place to get cheap tickets to go see shows.
Oh, nice tip.
Yeah, right outside of Bally's, I believe. And then right outside of the Aria, which is where we're hoping to go at the end of this year, there's a big kind of shitty walk section where it's just shops and eateries and lights and music. And so that's a fun place to go when it's late at night and you just kind of want to be around people.
Yeah.
That would be a good fun place to go. Just throwing that out there as well.
Excellent.
Because we've been to Vegas so many times.
Yeah. And strip club, go for it. Yeah, you know, whatever's there.
Yeah.
Whatever you're into, go and do it.
Exactly.
Make it your trip to Vegas.
Exactly. All right. Well,
have fun.
Thank you, Genevieve. I hope you have a great time in Vegas.
Before you go, though.
Yeah.
As a cautionary tale, watch The Hangover and then watch Very Bad Things. If you haven't seen Very Bad Things, you just watch that.
There you go.
And then you will watch your step while you're there.
There you go. That's very good advice.
Remember we had that friend?
Oh, my God.
We had that friend who was a troublesome human being to start with. Yeah. One of those ones that you have from childhood that you're like, we're friends. And this breaking point was like on Christmas or something. He had his 8-year-old sister and took her to see Very Bad Things.
Yeah.
It's not a movie he was, you know, emotionally prepared to handle. Right. So I don't know what this fucking little girl thought.
Or why would it be that important to go see that movie?
Because he's an idiot.
Anyway,
moving on.
Moving on. All right, let's go to our next question. This is an anonymous question.
Okay.
We got sent through the emails. And let's start it off. So he says, okay, so my situation is kind of funny. Kind of gross and, well, kind of honest. I'm a gay male and I suffer from IBS. I have hemorrhoids and they pretty much don't ever go away. I've had them for years. It makes me self-conscious, so I don't have casual sex as often as I'd like because I'm always afraid the guy is gonna notice or think I'm gross. This has to be a common problem for gay guys, yes? I know you aren't a gay male, so you're probably not the best person to ask, but you are giving advice on all aspects of life, so what the fuck? I'm giving it a shot, Lori Beth. I don't have any gay friends, so it's not like I can really ask anybody about it. And besides, it's embarrassing. I guess I just wanted to know if this is as bad as I think it is, or if I should stop being self-conscious and let my freak flag fly. Thoughts? Keeping my name anonymous for obvious reasons. Thanks.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Yeah.
I want to know why you don't have any gay friends.
Yeah. What's the problem there?
Yeah. I mean, you want to let your freak flag fly, so I'd assume you're out of the closet.
But if the opportunity is there to meet other gay guys to have sex with.
Then he's self-conscious.
Then there has to be gay people around to be friends with.
So I will say thank you for this very honest personal question.
Yes.
I have a friend who has talked about before how he credits having hemorrhoids in the 80s with him not getting AIDS.
Wow.
That's kind of amazing. And this that's just what popped into my head. That has no bearing on what I'm about to say about this.
Yeah, but what an interesting thought. Yeah,
it was like, whoa.
Wow.
That's nuts. But, Yeah, Bunny, first of all, if you have these hemorrhoids and you have IBS, yeah. I hope you've been to a doctor. No, for real. I mean, if you say I have IBS, you might have been diagnosed.
Irritable bowel syndrome, in case yes. anybody out there doesn't know what IBS is. Irritable bowel yeah. syndrome.
So it makes you kind of poopy and have yucky tummy, and it's an
yeah.
issue.
Yeah.
So I hope you've been to a doctor for both.
Right.
And I don't know how bad your hemorrhoids are. I don't know if they're internal or external. You know, it's there's a plethora of hemorrhoids. So you can have hemorrhoids in every color of the rainbow. Right. So please get some medical help, because there is help for you.
Sure.
So not knowing the specifics of those things, yeah, I don't know, but I have heard anecdotal stories about, yeah, I mean, like my friend, like gay men have hemorrhoids, and well, no, that's not the thing. A lot of people have hemorrhoids.
Yeah, yeah.
Some
yeah,
of
yeah.
them are bound to be gay men.
Sure, sure.
Who might be more apt to have opt anal out. Sex.
Yeah.
No, to have anal sex.
Oh, exactly.
So that becomes a real issue within just a full relationship. I would say if you're not in pain and you want to, if you want to just hook up with somebody like Grindr or whatever, mm-hmm. please be vaccinated. Make sure they're vaccinated. Like, there's no question. It's so kind of frustrating, because there's nothing I can say to anybody that isn't always couched with, but don't die.
Yeah, exactly.
So within those
parameters
or going forward when we're all good.
Yeah.
You know, you would ideally talk to a guy first.
Right.
Before you know, if you're on Grindr, whatever, you're chatting or whatever, throw it in there.
Yeah.
Throw it in there. And you'll either get like, oh, forget it. Or like, yeah, man, me too. Or,
right.
Or like, oh, no problem. You know?
Right.
And, but I would also say go on some, Google gay anal sex hemorrhoids. I'm sure that there are, you know, innumerable resources for that, and chat forums and people that you can, you know, benefit from their experience and their wisdom.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can try all of those things, but as far as, and then IBS, I mean, there are plenty of gay men and others who do an enema before they're going to have anal sex.
Sure.
So that's one thing to do, but I mean, if your tummy hurts yucky poopy, you're not really going to be like, I really want to fuck now, you
right.
know, which is a super drag. But again, get medical help.
Yeah.
Maybe your bad flora is killed by your fauna in your tummy. I don't know. Some bullshit with probiotics that my best friend takes every day 7 times. Just eat some goddamn yogurt. But, you know, I would say do the research, try to reach out, try to, you know, on a, you know, even on a Facebook page or whatever, where you could ask the question. You know, and be a not, I mean, you could change your name and your picture or whatever,
right.
but I wouldn't be surprised if you get plenty of
good advice
and good experiences, mm-hmm. and people saying, you know, hey man, it happens. And
right.
This is how I deal with it and this
right.
and that. So, but thank you very much for your question.
Yeah. Also quick, before we go, I just want to throw out here on the scale of embarrassment. Hemorrhoids is pretty far down.
Yeah.
There's so many other things that you could have to tell somebody before you have sex. And hemorrhoids isn't the most embarrassing one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I do.
You shouldn't feel embarrassed because of your hemorrhoids as much as you should just be aware of your hemorrhoids. And it's unfortunately something that, yeah, you might have to bring up before the pants come off.
Yeah, and it's not like anal warts. It's
right.
not. It's hemorrhoids exactly. aren't, to the best of my knowledge, aren't contagious.
Exactly.
You have to put a little mask over your hemorrhoids when you're having sex.
I don't know why. I just pictured all like Harlequin masks.
Yeah.
Like it's New Orleans Square in your butthole. But yeah, so anyway, just don't be embarrassed. Don't get ashamed. It's hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
Be open about it and talk about it.
And try to make some friends. I mean, maybe through some forums or whatever you can.
Yeah.
Because I know it's not like go to a bar and hang out and cruise right now. It's starting to be, but that's interesting to me that you said you don't have any friends. So you have one now. But as you said, I am not a gay man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm as close as you're going to come. But good luck with that, Potato.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, all you true crime fans. This is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morph.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons. Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime. There are 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Well, let's move on to question number three, and it's from a listener named Taryn. And Taryn asks, oh, this is actually a long one. Are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. During the height of the pandemic last spring, I was navigating Twitter and I managed to find my favorite scientist. He's been my favorite scientist since I was 15 and I absolutely fangirled the fuck out. And I followed him. He followed me back the next day. And after a few days of contemplating the weirdness of it all, I did the whole, you've been my favorite scientist since high school and are why I'm a marine biologist, but also perform at Renaissance fairs and play maritime folk music and sometimes do science talks at local rum distilleries. And he was like, I love maritime folk music and rum. And that was the start of it. We ended up chatting first through Twitter, then through email, and he became my long distance quarantine drinking buddy. I couldn't imagine getting through 2020 without his fun stories, terrible puns, lists of whiskey and rum suggestions to try out, and latest science journals to read through. I had read his papers throughout high school and college. I never thought I'd build a friendship with my scientist hero through maritime folk music, booze, and motorcycles, but here we are. He currently lives in Finland, and I've been contemplating going to visit him in the fall while I have an online college semester. We've swapped phone numbers and addresses at this point. He recently sent me mixtapes, how 90s. But have only ever emailed or texted and haven't called each other or video chatted yet. He's been exceptionally kind. He has sent me gifts and was the first to offer his phone number to make chatting easier. But I've noticed anytime I try to return the kindness by offering to send him a gift or even just a video chat, he seems to go quiet or change the subject. He doesn't say no, but he doesn't say yes either. I myself am a musician performer and am very big on respecting people's privacy, but I can't tell if he's generally a private person or if he's just shy. I always want to respect people's boundaries and move at their pace, so while I may make an offer here or there, I don't push anything. In the end, the trip out there from the US will heavily depend on my financial situation for the flight, hotel, food, etc. But could this autumn be too early for us to meet up? How do you know when you're ready to meet an online friend? Is there a good or proper way to present the offer of meeting up in person? I also don't know what I'd do when I do meet him. In my travels, I've met and performed with plenty of big name musicians and actors and was always cool about it, but I was certainly starstruck when first talking to this dude online and still sometimes get butterflies when he texts or emails me. I feel like I'd be reduced to a goober if I met him in person. Any good way to deal with that? My main goal is for us both to be comfortable and happy with meeting each other, whenever that may be. And that was Taryn.
Taryn.
Wow.
I am going to say again, our listeners leave no stone unturned when giving us the situation.
Seriously.
It is so thorough,
right?
The information we get sometimes.
Oh my God.
Because all of... All of that is relevant. That's the thing.
Right?
Like in my head, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh, but what Clark, if it's so long, why didn't Clark try to edit it? And it's like, no, because every step of the journey is important.
Right?
Okay, Taryn.
Yeah.
Here's what's unclear from the beginning of your story.
Question. Yeah.
Is this a romantic entanglement? Are you hoping for it to be? I can assume that he is much older than you if you were reading his scientific studies when you were 15.
Right.
If he's been a childhood hero of yours.
That's right.
And it sounds, I mean, you said you get butterflies when he texts you. It does sound like you have some, you know, romantic intention or fantasy there, but you don't explicitly say that.
Yeah.
Nor do you say he's married or 90 or that you're with somebody.
Well, also, she specifically says, how do you know when it's you're ready to meet an online friend?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing is like, well, first of all, I'd FaceTime him first in case he's, you know, an 11-year-old Japanese kid who's just really on the ball with his research. That would be my go-to thing. Maybe you've already done that. Yeah, but this does sound like you have some romantic intent. And even if you don't, it's, you know, there's a real power dynamic and it's like, I totally get it. Mm-hmm. You sound awesome, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
For all the things you do and like.
Yeah.
And that you have a childhood, you know, fan scientist.
Yeah, that I love. Yeah. That was my favorite part.
Yes.
And she's cool, too. She's like a rocker musician type, and she still has a favorite scientist.
She's a favorite scientist, and she goes to the Renaissance Fair. So there's a lot going for Taryn at this point. I'm on Team Taryn.
Okay.
But, as far as two things, meeting an online friend, it seems like you've been corresponding for a long time, especially through this last year of apocalypticness.
Right.
And that doesn't seem, you know, that dangerous. If you can confirm face to face that this is him.
Right.
But this fall, is that what she said? Is this fall?
She says autumn, but
autumn. So what does that mean? We're in spring now.
Right. So that would be this fall. That would be.
Oh, it's coming up.
Yeah.
It's when fall festival would be.
Exactly. September, October, November, somewhere in there.
It might be. Well, first of all, there's all these countries that won't allow Americans in because of the terrible job we did with the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I'd check with Finland first, see if they have any reservations available for Americans. But, and you also don't say if you've really talked to him about coming to see him.
Yeah. Yeah. She does say that she's tried to bring it up a couple of times, but he doesn't. He changes the subject.
Yeah. So I think before you book a ticket, regardless of COVID and all that kind of stuff, you need to have a real clear understanding of what you want from this man.
Yeah.
And let him know that, because it would suck. Ass, you'd be so excited and get there and be like, and you're like, he's like, hello, young child, or just doesn't, you know, if that's not reciprocated and that's what you want, find that out before you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that could be just crushing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in Finland and you don't know where you are,
right.
And you don't might not feel comfortable with this guy, you know, are you going to stay with him? Are you like, really, you need to suss that out. And if this man, I keep saying guy, like he's, you know, they met through soccer and have been pen pals, you know, if this man isn't on the same wavelength as you, then don't go.
Yeah.
Then don't go.
Yeah.
Because you're just going to be rejected or just heartbroken or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So really put your foot down as far as I need you to let me know this. I want to come visit you.
Right.
Do you want that or not?
Right.
Because it's just, I mean, nothing's worse than getting there and it being like, nope.
Right.
Pat on the head or I don't have time for you,
right.
Or awkwardity, which is a word I made up years ago.
Sure.
So in addition to that, I wouldn't go on a super long haul flight like that soon into what's going on. I've got my sights set on Well, it everything depends a lot on the COVID numbers and everything that I see over the summer.
Right.
That I see. Because the nation's waiting for my opinion on the summer numbers. But
there is also lots of news coming out about the vaccines being really good at preventing spreading the disease too. So now the more they're testing, even though everyone's already getting the shot, they're still doing lots of tests and everything. And it could be possible maybe by the end of the summer that we find out if you've gotten the shot, you're kind of invincible to this. Which we might find out, which would be great.
Yes.
And then maybe life could go back to just us flying around wherever we want.
Exactly. But it's like, there's still the huge component, like we said in a previous question about Vegas.
Yeah.
The component of, okay, I have the vaccine, so I'm safe. But does not mean that I can't get the vaccine and spread the vaccine.
Right.
Get COVID and spread COVID.
Yeah, you can't spread the vaccine.
I'm going to spread this vaccine all over. I'm just going to open my vein and spray it. Nail down what the relationship is with this man, Taryn.
Yes.
Before you make any travel plans.
And can I throw out one additional piece of advice here that might really help out?
I allow it.
Everything that you said, yes. But as well, this might be helpful. Find something in Finland that you really want to go do or see.
Oh, yeah.
So that's your break-in moment so that you can tell him, oh, my God, I've always wanted to go do X or go see Y or whatever it is. While I'm there, I'd love to come and see you. I'd love to meet up for dinner. Whatever you want to say, that might be a really good way to get that in there in a natural way. Because the thing that I'm nervous about, LB, and this is a problem that you have to deal with a lot, are people are starfuckers, right? There are lots of starfuckers out there that just want to hang around people that have a little bit of celebrity to their name.
Yes.
And
that's why I'm here.
And we don't want this to turn into something where if he's a celebrity and he has lots of, like, who knows how many people he's texting over the pandemic. Maybe that's all he's doing, is bored and texting random people during the pandemic. Make sure that he understands that you're not just a star fucker that wants, you know, attention or to be around him. That, you know, if you're going there to do something else and also can hang out with him and spend time with him, that sounds like you're not just spending thousands of dollars to be with this person that you've never met before.
Yeah.
And that might make them a little bit more comfortable in being like, sure, I can meet up with you a day or two.
You know, that's a really good point. Plan a trip to Finland if you want.
Yeah.
I would suggest driving there. Seeing a movie, seeing a show, doing a little bit of gambling, and going to one buffet.
But it's all fish.
It's all fish. Thank you, Taryn.
I hope that helps. All right. Well, thank you, Taryn. That was a good, really good question. Very detailed. And I'm so glad you sent it and hope that helps. So let's move on to our rotating segment of a week. And I'm really excited to be going back to one of our favorite segments. And that is LB Helps You Waste Your Life.
And now another rousing segment of LB Helps You Waste Your Life.
I'm excited because I really like this one. Although I really like all of them because I choose to waste my life with them. This is videos on YouTube, but I find them on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I love them. They're called Man Plus River.
Yep.
The dude's name is Dallas.
Right.
And he loves to dive and scuba dive. And he will go to lakes and rivers and little bodies of water where a lot of people go.
Right. Heavily populated. Bodies of water.
You know, vacation-y spots, that kind of thing.
Lakes, rivers.
Exactly. And he gets in his gear and has a couple friends sometimes that do it with him. He goes under the water with a metal detector sometimes and searches for stuff and finds all kinds of stuff. And, you know, he will find usually 100,000 pairs of sunglasses.
Right.
But, you know, jewelry and unopened beer that fell out and iPhones. Like, he finds all kinds of stuff. And he always, if he finds a phone, if he finds something valuable, will try to return it to the owner.
Yeah.
And he's done that plenty of times. And
does
it's
the
really
extra
funny.
Effort.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He tries to plug them in. He sees if they'll come back to life. They are more recent. And he's pretty recent. I think he's only been around since like 2017.
Yeah, I think his YouTube page says they started in 2017.
Yeah, so I was fortunate to find this guy pretty early on.
Yeah.
Dallas, if you're there. So he does do that. It's not like he's some weird pirate scavenger.
Right. And he's usually going out with friends too. Yeah. He has a couple of buddies that he does it with.
And they're really funny. It's a couple guys, but he seems like a really sweet guy.
Yeah.
He also has taken some requests. Like someone will say, you know, hey, Dallas, I love your videos. I was at such and such lake and my school ring fell off.
Oh, wow.
And so I've seen a couple where he goes down searching for something specific.
Huh.
And finds it, and he does like a Zoom call with them, and or he'll return the phones, but that's him looking for the people.
Right.
This is the people calling him.
Huh.
So that's really cool. And also what's really awesome about it is they always bring up bags and bags of trash.
Yeah.
They're cleaning up
while
the river.
They're down there.
Yeah. They're all the cans that are sunk to the bottom, you know, all the stuff, and they come and they throw it out and they recycle it. Like, just good guy running this deal.
Yeah. It's like they're making videos, and of course they're making money off of all these videos. However, the act in which the video is made is almost a charity itself.
Yeah.
Of this guy spending his time with his friends to clean up local lakes and rivers. That's fucking awesome.
And when they're under there, when they're under the water, first of all, I love ASMR. I'm totally ASMR-ish.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things I love is that sound of when a video recorder goes underwater.
Right.
And so that's always there, and this underwater sound and the audio the whole time. So I'm psyched about that. But also they'll find something and they'll go, woo-hoo, and they put like, woo across the screen. Right. Or if they find a nickel, it'd be like, cha-ching, and it says like 0.05 on the top. And they find a dime, and then it's like, cha-ching. And so it keeps counting up to like
tally.
37 cents. But they're always so excited. And then they're really excited when they find like a phone or something.
Yeah.
And nowadays, now that phones are more waterproof.
Yeah.
And people are smart, you know, to put them in like waterproof cases and stuff. I remember once he found this like waterproof case, you know, zipper pouch or something.
Sure.
With like four phones in it. So a bunch of friends had been smart, they thought,
right,
put all their phones in one place while they went tubing or something,
then
that fell out. So it's just really cool. It's really cool. I mean, I just really do love that underwater sound.
Yeah.
But it's really cool how much they love what they're doing and how excited they get when they find stuff.
Yeah.
And the altruistic part of it. Of, you know, them trying to return the stuff. And then just, I mean, I hate to end on such a weird thing, but whenever they bring up the garbage and throw it out, it makes me really happy.
Right.
And there's one where there's also like crazy shit they do afterwards. They found like an old can of food or soup or something.
Okay.
And so like old, and they're like, okay, let's open it. You know, I don't know if they ate it, but there's that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. So Man Plus River, I love you twice. And everybody take a look at that, especially if you love that underwater sound.
So yeah, that was a good way to help you waste your life. And now I believe we're on to our final question of the podcast. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. This is a good one. I'm really pleased with this one. This is a question from Elena, and Elena says, "Hi, Lori, Beth, and Clark. My wife and I are almost finished with the process of becoming foster parents. We are super excited and kind of nervous to open up our hearts and home to some children in need. This has been a huge goal for us because as a lesbian couple, obviously having a baby the traditional way would have had a lot of obstacles. We also have two cats named Potato and Chip. Who are very used to being the babies of our household, but they don't seem to be happy about the changes we've had to make to our home during this process. The cats used to be allowed to play and sleep in our second bedroom, but since we need that bedroom for the new children, we've had to keep that door closed so they would stay out of there. We also set up a crib in our room because we hope to get an infant to care for. But so far, Potato and Chip seem to think the crib is a new bed for them. They have also have been knocking things off tables and counters more than usual, and just getting into mischief more often. I know you've worked with dogs in the past, but I was hoping you'd have some advice on how we can get our cats better adjusted to the fact that there will be new family members in the house soon. Thank you for being so amazing and being a huge part of making my childhood rock. Love you guys.
Well, thank you.
Right, that was Elena.
From Elena.
Elena.
Thank you, Elena.
Yeah.
Cats are assholes. I actually like, speaking of wasting my life, I do find myself just entering into YouTube, cats being assholes. And there's like 29 minute montages of it.
Sure, sure.
First of all, how amazing.
Yeah.
That you are opening up your heart and your home to fostering.
So wonderful.
That is amazing.
Fantastic.
And that you obviously have so much. First of all, I call people Potato a lot.
You do. I call people potato
and Kitten and Monkey Butt and Button. Yeah. I just have a lot of little things that I do. And so when I heard your cats were named Potato and Chip, I just can't stand it. I love them and I love you. And I'm not saying your cats are assholes.
No.
But
all cats are assholes.
It is very difficult, you know, adjusting for every. I mean, this is going to be a huge adjustment for everybody.
Yeah.
For you, for the kids.
Yeah,
You know, the low end of that should be, how are the cats?
Right.
You know, the biggest part of that will be, do the cats hurt the children?
Yeah, exactly.
How does the cat learn to suffocate a baby with a pillow? You know, and that's, you know, worst case scenario. I have known people whose animals have reacted extraordinarily badly to a new baby and have that. I mean, maybe once or twice that's happened. I'm not suggesting that.
Yeah.
We're far from that,
no,
Elena.
No, totally.
But what I would suggest is spoiling your cats, which you probably already do, but in another area of the house, pick another area that can replace the kids' room.
Yeah.
And put the catnip there, make it a thing, where they maybe like that corner.
Mm-hmm.
And that could give them, you know, a little spoiled action and they know it's over there. Maybe they won't be so crazy about the room. What's interesting is, Elena doesn't say my cats are pissing everywhere.
No, not
once. So that, if they had been, I think she would have mentioned it.
Yeah.
So that's not so bad, Bunny. They are. Oh, I call people Bunny too a lot. They are not acting out as badly as they could be.
Right.
Because if your house, I mean, unless they already were pissing everywhere, but I don't think they are. I don't think Potato and Chip do that.
They aren't those kind of cats.
I don't think they go down. But as far as this transition, spoil them in, I hate to say this because it sounds so cheesy, but I can tell how, it doesn't sound cheesy, but it sounds like, come on, Obi. But it's the same way maybe that you would show, you know, your two-year-old, you're still very important. And here's something for you when the new baby comes.
Right.
Because inevitably, a new baby takes a lot more work. I mean, a two-year-old takes a lot of work. But, you know, people have learned to take the time to really give the older kids some attention so that they're not like, I hate the baby and I hate you and I'm leaving.
Right.
Little two-year-old packs up his Fisher-Price something and just leaves.
Fisher-Price suitcase?
Yeah. Just takes a Mr. Potato Head, which is no accessories. Just going, me and Potato Head.
There's already pre-packed, like, plastic clothes in the Fisher-Price suitcase.
Oh, yes. And it's just Potato Head now. They've gotten rid of the mister. So that's something for stupid people to be angry about. And weird.
Also, when you're saying treat your kitties, you're you could be talking about food stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Catnip or treats or whatever you want. You could also, you know, a lot of my friends that have cats, their cats love these cat trees. And they sleep on them and they crawl on them and they jump off them. Maybe that would be a fun thing to do, is to get, especially if you're trying to relocate them out of that one room. Maybe there's another room, if you know, even if it's the living room or a central room, that you can put a big tall cat tree kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they would have something new that would feel like this was their new space.
Potato and chip. Yeah. The other thing that I was just thinking of, when hopefully soon you get these kids that that's a friggin' amazing, generous, remarkable thing to open your home and your life. And I know that people that I've known that have fostered or adopted, I mean, they get it back in spades.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like what a great youth hostel I own. But when the kids come, let them really spoil the cats.
Yeah.
Give them the treats. It is a cat. You can buy its love.
Yeah.
So
I think the only problem, sounds like Elena doesn't know the age or ages of any of the kids that are coming. If they're a baby, awesome. The babies won't touch the cats and they can grow to love them.
Yes.
If they're, you know, an adolescent, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, that you can at least do exactly what you're saying, right? Give them treats to give the cats, mm-hmm. have them to slowly, you know, start spending more time with the cats. The only problem is if they get a kid that's in between 2 and maybe 4.
Yeah.
That's the only time that I would be really kind of nervous to have cats that don't know a kid all the time around a kid.
That kitty would cat be, tail go yank.
Yeah, that's the scary one.
And that's, you know, but that's also the chance to teach the kid gentle.
Exactly. Gentle. That's exactly right. We did that with Lex. He was, you know, pulling on Flynn's tail.
Aww.
And as much as that might be funny to me, I made sure that he knew that that was bad.
Gentle. And that's what I say to Bags when I give him a treat. I say, gentle. and now I have just a nubbin of a wrist.
Exactly. But so hopefully that helps you, Elena. That was a really great question. I'm so glad you sent that.
Let us know what happens.
Yes.
Let us know what happens with everything. I just think the more people, the cats, yes. Let us know how Potato and Chip fare in this situation. But I just think it's great that you have put out to a bunch of people here that you are fostering and that you're excited about it, and let us know how everything goes.
Yes, please. And if you really want to make LB happy, message her on Facebook with a picture of Potato and Chip.
Oh, hell yeah.
She would love that. Anyway, so that kind of wraps up the questions for today. Did you have a good show today? Did you like that?
I did. You know what?
What?
I want to talk about something.
Oh, please. Let's talk.
Talked about it last week, and I'm going to talk about it every week.
Okay.
My campaign, 1 million hugs.
Yes.
My campaign, 1 million hugs.
Yes.
To reiterate.
Right.
Is about you going and getting vaccinated.
That's absolutely right.
Clark, not just Clark, not everyone. Just
me, everyone.
And doing research from reputable sources.
Yep.
And explaining to other people, this is good and here is why. Let's get vaccinated. When we get to a point where things are back to normal enough, safe enough, all of that stuff, I will set up a booth and give 1 million hugs.
Yep.
This is what I want to have happen.
And to the point where if the listeners out there are interested, they should maybe submit their town to be part of the tour.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could do a little driving tour around America and find plenty of places that I'm sure lots of people would want hugs.
You know how old I am? It just occurred to me right now to make hashtag 1 million hugs a thing.
There you go.
Hopefully that's not already taken.
I hope not.
So I am going to start that hashtag, or you guys start that hashtag.
Yeah.
I have put this, I'll post about it again, but I have put these posts about the parameters and the want for people to be vaccinated and to bring my 1 million hugs initiative to fruition.
Yes.
So, but now I will add the hashtag, which is really the only thing that's important, I realize. Oh, ay, adios mio, my brain.
Now, wait, is this hashtag million hugs? Is that hashtag 1000000 hugs?
You know what?
Or is it M-I-L-L-I-O-N hugs?
That's, I was just thinking that. It should be hashtag O-N-E M-I-L-L-I-O-N H-U-G-S.
Got it.
Hashtag, and hashtag is spelled H-A-S.
Yes. Well, I hope everyone out there goes out and spreads the word and gets ready for a million hugs. Because,
hey, get this.
Yeah.
Spread the word, not the disease.
Hey, I like it. That's really good. Congratulations. All right. Well, I'm so glad you guys stopped by to listen. If you have any questions out there for Lori Beth, especially if they're, you know, related to hugs or The Simpsons or anything, please send it to us at AskLoriBeth.com. You can hit us up on all the socials at AskLoriBeth, or just leave us a message with your name and where you're from at 1-855-DENBERG. That's 1-855-DENBERG, 1-855-336-2374.
And you can find me at LB Denberg on Instagram, at Lori Beth Denberg on Twitter, at the Lori Beth Denberg fan page on Facebook.
Woo-hoo.
And you can book me to make a personalized video for a loved one or someone you hate. Yeah. I could really tear them apart.
Oh, that would be so good.
Yeah, so you can find that at cameo.com/Lori Beth.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We had a great time today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.